You start recording, please. Awesome. Thank you. Welcome to the, let's see, March Exec Committee meeting. Let's go through roll call really fast. And there's Brion hopping on now. Laura Galena De Lovato.
I'm here.
Awesome. Thanks, Laura. Christian Bryant.
I'm here.
Awesome. Thanks, Christian. And Ian Davey.
Here.
Perfect. Thank you all for hopping on today and for being able to reschedule such short notice. The last RSC exec meeting was scheduled for right after the full body meeting. No, yeah, right. And so we couldn't make an agenda in time to actually host the meeting. So appreciate all of your flexibility and hopping on the week afterwards. So just to jump right in here with some staff updates. In the last RxC meeting last Tuesday, the body agreed to extend the meetings from 2:30 to 5, from 2:30 to 5 to 2 to 5. So from 2.5 hours to 3 hours. Just want to let you all know that I've emailed our admin person, Tanya Harris, who's out right now, but and they have the ability to go ahead and extend that. We've also sent the previous work products to our PHB leadership team. And those, as a reminder, let me pull up the list here, were the anti-harassment protections letter, the COVID rental housing policy and program letter, the rent assistance policy letter, and the relocation assistance recommendations were all being resent to the body agreed to resend them to Commissioner Rubio's office. So on our end, we've gone ahead and forwarded those over to PHB leadership, who will then forward them on to Commissioner Rubio's office in the future. So that process has also started. And then it was requested for some landlord incentives research, just to look around at comparable cities or jurisdictions to see if they have any policies in place that incentivize landlords not to raise rent, basically. Or any landlord incentives existing in other, Boston, Sacramento, San Francisco, Seattle, or all Denver, are all comparable jurisdictions we usually review. And so I'm starting that process actually today. So hopefully I'll have some research to you for the to the exec committee within the next week or so, because there was a request to get that out as soon as possible for the full body to be able to review it. So hopefully in the next 1 to 2 weeks, we'll go ahead and I'll get everything typed up and researched on my end. Then we send it to our data team to review, and then we can go ahead and share it out. And so I'll keep everyone up to date with that as that occurs. Any questions on our staff updates? Perfect. Well, moving on to the next agenda item, request for the exec committee to deliberate. In our last exec and our last full body meeting, I went ahead and presented on the 14.6% rent increase and SB 608. And so with the body discussed kind of combining the 14.6% rent increase with the long-term rent assistance topic in our last meeting. And so just wanted to check in on the long-term rent assistance presentation. I know, Ian, you were unavailable to make this past meeting. Welcome back. It's good to see you. I know Laura wanted to coordinate on this as well. So just wanted to make some space for any discussions around that or any coordination that wanted to happen in this exec meeting.
Great. Thanks, Justin.
Yeah.
I'll just say I haven't had much time to give it a lot of, well, to begin work on it. I've given it some thought. So I have like an okay sense of an outline, but I am open to starting with hearing what folks would want to see there. Laura, it sounds like you have some thoughts, so I'll just like pause and hear those. And then if folks want to do it the other way, I can give some thoughts too.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I don't think any of us had any preconceived ideas about what your presentation was going to be. And just in my opinion, I think for our commission, as much information as we can provide about what rent assistance is, how it works, how it's administered, focusing in on the long-term rent assistance, but definitely outlining some differences between long and short-term. And then when we were talking at the full body meeting, what I said was I would try to coordinate with you and maybe this is something you've already thought of, but do a little matrix of the different types of rent assistance, because I think we've got several people who just don't know how it works. They don't know what it is. I mean, somebody said that they had heard that rent assistance was only for, you know, one time or one day of $100 or something like that. So I think that as we get ready to talk about long-term rent assistance as a work plan item and dig into what our recommendation or work product would be about that, I think starting by giving some really basic information about what rent assistance is, how it works, who it serves, you know, what are the different sources, how it's distributed, and of course the difference between long and short. So I'm happy to brainstorm with you and take on some of the work with you, Ian. You know, we can just do it together, whatever. Happy for you to take the lead and give me assignments, whatever works.
That's awesome. Thanks, Laura. Christian, did you have other initial thoughts?
I was just going to say, I mean, that's pretty much how I remember it when we had conversations about it was, you know, the first goal of your presentation was to just make sure the whole body actually has an understanding of the different types of rent assistance that are available, you know, where they come from, how it's sourced, how you know, in general, you know, how tenants are able to access them. And then, you know, also some kind of idea of, you know, if you already have it, since you have a lot of experience with it, you have a good idea of, well, I can definitely see some holes in these areas there where we might be able to, you know, go through and make some recommendations. Or is it with all these different types of rent assistance, the biggest recommendation we need to make is, hey, city, add some funding to this one specifically or something like that, you know, and that kind of would start the conversation in my mind.
That's great. I'm just taking some notes. So I think the place I'm going to need help with, so I can very quickly kind of walk you two through what, or the whole group through what, like my initial hit on it was. And then I think it would be helpful is like, do we want to, I mean, it's basically what you just said, Christian. It's like, do we want to just say, this is what long-term rent assistance is and we need more of it? Or do we want to say we need more of it and like here's some policy tweaks or things to consider? And I think the piece that I'll say is that Home Forward administers like almost all of the long-term rent assistance in Multnomah County. And we do a lot of that, those really deep, tough analyses around, you know, like rent burden and what the overall market looks like and like what we should be setting payment standards at, you know, how families are experiencing it, you know, tenure on the program, all that. So I would probably naturally shy away from digging too deeply on those and go more toward the like more blunt advocacy. We need more funding for this. But that's just sort of my bias. I'll just say that up front.
Yeah, and I actually honestly think that, you know, we haven't gotten to that part of the conversation about what is it exactly that we are asking for. And so I wouldn't want to even try to anticipate what some of our colleagues are thinking, because we've got some great, you know, different ideas and different perspectives. And so what I was thinking was that we more tee up that conversation by giving just the basics of how it works, and maybe even providing, so absolutely not delving into the analysis around rent burden and payment standards and administration and all that other stuff, but give enough information that people understand that there are mechanisms that are in place, that, you know, that there are standard protocols, that so that when we're talking about things like increasing the amount of rent and assistance, but also increasing access to it. So if the body wanted to recommend to the city of Portland, create a bigger rent assistance fund and make it easier for tenants to access it directly, how do we inform our entire commission about the standard protocol of paying the landlord, not the tenant, of the challenges that we faced when all that COVID money flooded in, when OHCS stood up the rent assistance, which I've forgotten the name of that. But so some of those key pieces that factor into how we've done rent assistance so far to date, and then make that the foundation for having sort of a more
informed discussion.
Well, an informed and I think forward looking discussion.
That sounds great.
That makes sense to me. I'm always for trying to keep the conversation a little more simple and not get into the weeds and whatnot and have to cut people off because of schedule. So sounds good to me.
And then to that end, are we looking, Justin, maybe this is a question for you, how many sessions are we looking at this to be? Like, including just one, but...
I don't think we improved a portion of the work plan in the past meeting, the topics. Laura, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we established how long we'll spend on these two topics exactly.
We did not.
I'm not
looking for my notes here, but I think what we did identify is that because we're pairing the conversation about the rent increase cap, the 14.6% cap, which, you know, could be modified by SB 611, and we talked a little bit about that, but because we're pairing that topic with rent assistance, long-term rent assistance, I was thinking that we would need at least two of our remaining sessions to get through this, to get through both of those together.
Okay. So then the way I would probably frame it up is the sort of 101 and like local landscape. Let me just jot this down real quick. And then at a very high level, some like policy and cost considerations. So that might include concept of rent burden, concept of like what's the total rent we pay to an owner, right? And how do we sort of balance that based on geography? And maybe another demographic that I think is like understated, which is tenure. I feel like tenure on the program is one that people often don't consider. We see some real ties to housing stability there. Anyway, I could just throw out a few items and say, what do you want to hear more about? We're going to be back in 2 months. I have the time to develop the next curriculum based on what people want. So if that sounds kind of aligned with what I just heard from both of you, then I would quickly sort of walk you through what I think I would say in that first one. And Laura, where you think we could sort of collaborate.
Yeah, I think that plan sounds great, Ian.
Okay. So I would just say, like, what's rent assistance at a base level? Remember, we talked about short-term, we talked about emergency, we talked about services-oriented short-term. Those were two sort of different distinctions. Then we have long-term. rent assistance. We have many flavors of that. One is sort of, I'm going to need a term for this. You might be able to help me, Laura, but it's sort of the like Catholic Charities style. You have rent assistance for a year, right? And then it sunsets. Often it's not based on your income, but it's just a block amount. Here's $500 a month for a year. That's one type of long-term rent assistance, but it has an end. So it's not the longest. And then we have like the traditional voucher program. And that is obviously federal Section 8 program. Many of the federal special purpose voucher programs, and I can just easily like bash for veterans, but for foster youth, et cetera. I could just mention a few of those. And then roll into local programs, right? Because we're lucky to have a local program that we have to some extent based on the federal program, but built very differently. We probably have 10 policy areas that are different, where we intentionally said, we don't want to do that icky thing that the feds do around immigration status that can adjust your portion or whatever the issue might be. Then I would just talk quickly about some of the, I think it's important to know like how many we're talking about here. So I think like total numbers is important, right? We're talking about thousands, maybe 15,000 in our county. And then kind of go into some of those policy considerations around like rent burden, you know, total rent to owner, maybe some of the demographics. And then there is space to talk about policy reforms. Like Home Forward has done, we've dramatically reformed our terminations policy. We've reduced or we've totally removed like term limits or minimum rents within that. Like there are a number of things we've done. I could just touch on those, or I could bring them back in the subsequent conversation to sort of tie them to the policy issues that people want to hear more about.
Yeah, that all sounds really great, Ian. And for the Catholic Charities type renaissance, yeah. I mean, what if we called, this is how I think about it, what if we call it a set term LRA?
I like it.
Yeah, I like what you're talking about, though. We've got long-term rent assistance, and there are many flavors.
Yeah.
It's not just one thing. I think that's good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Christian. Okay.
And Justin, I'll help out however you want. Yeah, open to anything.
Well, Laura, let me ask you this. I feel like you were, or maybe someone from Northwest Pilot was involved with creating regional long-term rent assistance. I feel, oh, I mean, it's the Bobby voucher.
It's the Bobby voucher. Right? It was me and Bobby.
Yeah.
Beating the joint office over the head with a stick and then coming and saying, hey, Home Forward.
Right. I was going to say, I feel like the money, it came from your advocacy. So why don't you sort of, I mean, I think it'd be lovely if you can say, well, we can talk more, but I think it'd be lovely if you can do that whole RLRA section, which is basically saying, hey, we've had this clunky federal thing for decades, and finally we stepped up locally, and here's what it looked like. And here was the initial seed of, I think like only $350K a year or something. And look what that's become with, like that was the proof of concept, right? I always told our team, I know it's not much money, but this is the proof of concept to then advocate for the big thing. That's and then exactly, we did that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. I'd be happy to do that. Love to do that. I'll channel Bobby. And okay. And I think it's a good example of for our commission too, about how you start with a small, you know, a small nugget concept that is the right thing, and you push it the right way, and it can make a huge difference.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. So Justin, anything else you, I mean, from that, like that you've heard from the body that you think we should thread through there, or Brianna, obviously anyone else?
You know, on my end, that sounds like you both, all of you developed a great plan. And yeah, I had nothing else to add to that. That sounds great.
And, you know, then after that, as we discuss the topic as a body and work toward figuring out, well, okay, do we just want to ask the city for more money for another program or for a policy? I think there's going to be more opportunity to go back to, yeah, but there's this resource, or there's this detail, or there's this policy, and continue to have, you know, continue to discuss.
Yeah, I think the in going just going down presenting things how you guys talked about, I think it'll naturally, you know, just kind of start the conversation about possible like holes or areas to improve. Because if I remember right, when we brought it up, when it's come up as a topic to have on the agenda, I believe I remember at least one, if not a couple of those that are more, you know, strictly tenant rights advocacy representatives mentioning that they do have things to talk about, and they already, you know, see certain holes or things that can be improved with long-term assistance. So I would imagine they're going to kind of naturally pick up that conversation after, you know, presenting all the different types and make sure, you know, everyone has a good understanding. So.
Yeah. And I think that'll lead to that broader forward thinking, robust conversation.
Yeah. And Christian, quick question there. Is your sense that that will be like within the rent assistance model, here are things we need, or is it an also very appropriate comment, which is rent assistance is, you know, like a federal or local sort of pass through to property owners without the protections for the tenants, we should blow it all up. Like, what are you thinking we might hear there? And I'm good with all the conversations, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I would say I don't know. But I get the feeling in some of the comments that were made was that they, you know, see areas to where there's tenants that they're representing and, you know, through their organizations helping out, where there's like cracks basically, or like areas to where the tenant could be, you know, no longer qualified for this rent assistance and not quite yet qualified for the next level that they really need or something like that. So that's the feeling that I've gotten, is that that's the kind of stuff we're going to hear. But I can't say, I mean, I haven't had any conversations with anyone outside of RSC meetings. So, you know, I'm reading into like, you know, one sentence comments that they've made when the subjects come up.
Yeah. And I love that, Christian. I think that was a really good discussion and description. And Ian, I think you're right. I think we probably do have some colleagues on the commission who would like to say, yeah, let's blow it up. Let's do it. Let's talk about doing it differently, because culturally specific organizations don't have enough rent assistance, or it's not easy to get, or the application was too much of a barrier. And I would also like to say, you know, what do our housing providers think about rent assistance? Can we challenge or talk about what it means to housing providers to have a tenant who has rent assistance and therefore some guaranteed income? How does that tie to rent increases? And you know, is ultimately what we're looking for is, and this I thought of because of the desire to pair these two topics, is rent assistance a lever to bring down rent increases because of its long-term, traditional long-term rent assistance is ongoing, or can it be used the other way? So those are some of the things that I'm hoping that we converse about that lead us to saying, well, what is it that we're trying to do? You know, what what action is it that we're trying to recommend? To what end are we discussing this?
Right. I feel like that is also kind of why we for sure are going to need, you know, this on the agenda for two meetings.
Right.
Because I think, you know, the reality is we're not actually going to find out kind of what direction the committee is thinking until after the first one.
Right.
You know, I mean, we can, if we wanted to, technically, as an executive committee, we could just decide this is how we want it to go. And these are the kinds of recommendations we're looking at. But I don't know that, you know, that'd be very on brand for us. Typically, we've been pretty lax about kind of letting the committee guide that kind of stuff.
Yeah, our brand is guided permissiveness or something. Okay, I like that. I mean, one thing I can do is I'll try to save maybe 10 minutes at the end to not dive deep on policy buckets, but just sort of explain policy buckets. And I've got like six jotted down in my list right here. And then I can say, like, this is what this policy bucket means. This is what this means. What do you want me to come back with, or like us to come back with and sort of fill up for a broader discussion? Yeah. And then that the question that you asked, Laura, about like how it sort of aligns with the rent increase conversation could fall somewhere in there. Well, Justin, I got what I need. Thank you so much.
Perfect. Great.
Can you remind me of the date of the, when do I need to, what's 2 hours before the presentation? I can make sure I'm done.
Let's see. How long do you think, you know, we want to leave ample time for us to get it to our data team as well. But we do have two solid months. Do we want to say, you know, have it ready before the next exec committee meeting, which is on Wednesday, April 26th, excuse me?
Well, isn't the exec committee after the full body?
So the next exec committee we have on the schedule would be next month.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because we went to six meetings.
Right.
And then after that, yeah, after it's usually the week after the full body meeting.
So the next RSC meeting is May 16th at 2 p.m. So May 16th,
yes.
At May 16th at noon is your deadline, Ian.
Well, if we are going to meet as this group at the end of April, I will try to get something by then. I have a pretty busy first half of April, so, and I need to get our analysts on some of this, and so they're going to have some. But anyway, is that right, Justin? The three of us, at least, will be together in a room April 26th, you said?
Correct, yes.
26th at 2, it looks like.
Cool. I'll shoot for something like for that, and I probably, Laura, won't have time to have the two of us sit down, but if that structure works, then you and I can sit down after that.
Perfect.
Okay, sweet.
Honestly, whatever works, is just as long as we have time, you know, to get out to our data team as well, then we're good to get it posted before the meeting. We're good to go.
Cool. Okay, great.
Awesome. Well, perfect. Well, the next item on the agenda, we kind of just got into this already, but
yeah,
it's really the work plan finalization. You know, we already kind of started the discussion around the 14.6% rent increase and the long-term rent assistance. Wanted to make some space here for a program and policy brainstorm. One of the materials that that are posted for this meeting today was the brainstorm that you wrote down, Laura, from the last meeting, which was great. So thank you for doing that. And you know, just wanted to make some space for, you know, a larger discussion on how you want to shape the meeting in May. And you know, just any asks you have of PHB staff, myself and Brian, any data you would need or anything you want from us going forward, just so you know, to give us, besides, of course, the landlord incentives research. just to give us ample time to prepare those things for you and better understand how we can support this next meeting.
I would say maybe just an obvious, but you probably were going to do it anyway, maybe as part of a staff update or something. But I would imagine by the next RSC meeting, we'll know for sure whether or not the new state rent increase limits bill has actually, you know, passed through everything. And so probably just making a note to just double check on that. And if it for sure has passed through, to make sure we do just like a quick overview for the committee on what that means and how that changed things.
Perfect on that. Thank you, Christian.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Any other materials that we can think of, or for us, or you know?
You know, I think Alan kept bringing us back to the rental registration program. And I'm just looking at my notes here. I wonder if there's information from what the city has with rental registration that tells us something about rent assistance and rent increases. You know, I don't know what that would be because I haven't seen any of the data from the rental registration. And I know, Brian, that you added too in our meeting last week that the rental registration system funds part of the RSO. So we don't want to go down that road. But I don't know.
Well, I mean, that could be part of like the incentive conversation too, to where, who knows, maybe, you know, since it's within the city's power, you know, we can't change things state-wise or state tax-wise, but it could be something to where, hey, if you, you know, a landlord keeps their rent below a certain amount that PHB picks every year, then their rental registration fee is waived for that unit. I mean, it's, you know, not a big dollar amount, but I don't know. I think what Alan kept going back to was, wasn't it more on expanding the data collected with the registration, like actually collecting current rent amount data, I think, or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we all learned that the city doesn't track when rent is raised or not. And I think that was one of his points. There was some self-reporting. And right. Said, you know, that's why rental registration is needed.
And you know what? I would say for staff, follow up with Matthew on that, because I vaguely remember talking about the data collected and the possibilities of expanding that with the rental registration system when it was first enacted. And I believe I remember something to the effect of, because of not having enough money to basically get a brand new standalone system, they were just piggybacking off of and using the current system that exists for the city's revenue department, and that it didn't have much ability to expand things. And so there was actually a pretty big budget price tag attached to getting it onto its own system. But I don't know if that maybe already happened, but that'd be something just to follow up on and look into if that's going to be part of the conversation.
Yeah, I'll just jump in here with some additional context. So first, yes, we do have the rental registration system. The data is actually, because it is part of the tax code, it's technically owned by the revenue department, which has created some challenges when it comes to data sharing. I know there are many interested parties who want to expand the sort of information that the system is collecting. I think that would likely involve changing the tax forms, I'm not sure if that means changing sort of like Portland City Code around it. We'd have to expand some of these definitions, what they're looking at. The tax does 100% fund the RSO. So we are the only body, like we're the only part of Portland City government that is receiving rental registration fees. There already are exemptions for regulated affordable housing. So any affordable housing that has like formal regulatory agreements, either with the city or project-based vouchers, anything that is like tied to the unit of housing that has basically a legal contract is exempt. So we would have to design an entire new process if we were interested in essentially regulating private market rents. That would also have to probably go through a pretty serious process of figuring out what that would mean. Not saying we can't do it, just saying that that's like, that's going to be a pretty big lift. And no, we don't have our own independent system yet that is still living with the revenue department, and we don't really have a lot of access to the information that we have because they are tax records. So they're very sensitive information. So sort of like a big brain dump right there. I don't know how helpful it was.
Laura?
Yeah, Brianne, that was great. Thank you. And I think another thing that would be interesting for if PHB staff, if you guys could get your hands on this information, there's, you know, since we're talking about rent increases and rent assistance, so rent increase caps and ends up, I mean, Christian's absolutely right about the what's going on in the legislature right now with SB 611 and all of that. But there, this comes up, it came up at our last meeting. It's in my brainstorming notes, this idea that if we offer rent assistance, it incentivizes landlords to raise rent. And I'd like to see if there's any information from other communities or if there's any information that we learned during COVID and all of that rent assistance that went out the door that proves or disproves that. Because in pilot projects experience, we don't see that as the norm. But it's an intriguing and interesting idea that sheds a different light on rent assistance and certainly sheds a different light on advocating for more rent assistance. So I don't know how you guys would be able to dig out information, but that would be super helpful.
That would definitely be interesting to see if there is some data on that. Cause I mean, it's definitely contrary to what I would assume. Because like, you know, just being a landlord myself, working with, you know, the main stuff that I work with is Section 8 based, so Home Forward. And I mean, that tenant comes to me with a approved maximum amount that they can rent. And I have the choice of either I say, okay, I guess I just can't, you know, accept you as a tenant because I'm not willing to move my rent, or actually I'll go ahead and lower my rent by $50 or $100 just so I can meet that, you know, and get you in there. So I would love to, I mean, if that is a real thing, I would love to see some information on it because it's definitely contrary to what my personal experience would be.
Laura, can you rephrase that question? I missed like the very beginning of it.
I wanted to know whether or not RSO staff, you two, could find information that would support or not support this perception that rent assistance incentivizes landlords to raise rent because they know that there's more money coming. And just like Christian Berry, it put it very well, we don't see that. We see mostly the landlords that we work with, the certainly the private market landlords that we work with, don't say, ooh, goody, this person's getting rent assistance. We're going to raise the rent. So I think it would be really interesting to try to see if we could get some information from other cities or communities about that, because I think we have to test whether or not that is really true, since our conversation is about rent increases and rent assistance.
Yeah, I mean, I know this was something I heard a lot in New Orleans, because once the fair market rent increases around Section 8 happened, they were above fair market rent in a lot of the neighborhoods. And so there was an argument that fair market rent rose in response. But I don't know if there was ever a formal study. That's just something that I've heard of. I think the issue is, COVID has been such an outlier in rent assistance availability that we're not really sure what the impact has been, because I'm not sure that there's any sort of community in the US that has had enough reliable rent assistance to actually shift the entire private market. That's just a thought. That's like an initial thought that I'm having, but we can certainly look. I think one of the things that we're going to run into, particularly if we're talking about impacts here in the Portland area, because we've been having a lot of questions lately around the impacts of SB 608 and RELO and rent assistance. So much happened in our market in the space of about the past 3 years that it's going to be really challenging to be able to isolate a specific intervention as driving a shift in the market. That is something that our data team has reliably said. So I just want to put that out there. We can see if we can find anything. But I just want to call those that.
Yeah. And Ian put something in the chat about HUD PDNR, which looks interesting. But also, I think we can also say, you know, we looked and didn't find anything. We don't know. That's still something we have to look at. I mean, I think that's okay to say that. And you know, and we can also chuck all the COVID rent assistance experience out the window, since it was this weird but long sort of anomaly. But I think that there's value in saying, well, we looked at this, we looked at this, and we looked at this, and, you know, that's all we got. I guess my point there is to say, since we've got a couple months before the meeting, that would be something to put on your list, to your question, Justin, about, you know, what would we like you to look for and look into.
Absolutely. Yeah, I will see what I can find for sure.
And this conversation is maybe reminding me of another one. And Ian or Laura, please, or staff, if you know off the top of your head, correct me. I'm probably wrong on the bill number, but the one that was passed, just got signed, it's on its way to the governor's office, is that 2001, I think, the one that extends the no cause notice to 10 days.
Yep.
There's also a lot of stuff in that on putting requirements on local municipalities around Oregon to meet certain limits as far as housing supply, collecting data on their housing, that type of stuff. And so it would definitely be good to have a kind of a synopsis of that and what that actually means for Portland and, you know, how that's going to affect things. Because, I mean, that might even be something that forces the hand of expanding that registration information too.
I want to make note of that. Thanks, Christian.
And I, you know, this is just like meeting management, but it's also instructive around the presentation. You know, I just want to make sure we're not getting too bogged down in the rent assistance impacts the market conversation, because while it almost certainly does, like I heard what Breon said about, we just can't measure how much. And I get in this place too, where I'm like, okay, well, you know, if rent assistance is HUD telling us rent assistance will be at like X this year, we look at it and we say that can't be right. We know what our market looks like. We did a study to push HUD, and we came back and said, based on our market, rent assistance should be like 1.2x or whatever, some higher subsidy amount, right? Because that's what tenants need to actually use rent assistance in the market. Otherwise, you're going to have like people getting vouchers, not being able to use them, 50% success rates, which some of rural Oregon has. And that's almost like, I don't want to get so
consumed by that macro argument that we miss like some of the nuances of what people actually experience with rent assistance. Anyway, I'm probably already overthinking it. I can't wait for the presentation, but there's just like so much to unpack there. Mm-hmm. Geography comes into play too, where people actually can live. Or anyway,
I think that is really good that you mentioned that, because I think that that's exactly where the conversation could go. So
I'll try to sort of anticipate like what are the what are just all the like pieces you need to have a really rich conversation around that, and then the trickier part is actually being prepared then to like, you know, respond, because I'm only an expert to the extent that I have a lot of experts I work with who tell me this stuff. So anyway, plenty to think about.
Awesome. Yeah, plenty to think about, plenty to work on here. It looks like the next meeting is really panning out to be, you know, initially kind of a large presentation, maybe even a couple, to get the body oriented to these issues and possible work products that can go forward. With the remaining time, do we want to, if there are any other topics around these two issues we want to discuss or start to brainstorm for this next meeting, or, you know, I'm happy to end a little early if that's how we're feeling. We already discussed a lot here, but we open the floor.
Only other thing I would maybe add is to intro to that conversation on rent increase limits and what we might may or may not be able to do at the city level is a actual like current review of, you know, legally what we are not able to do. Because I think technically there's also another bill that's currently being debated that got thrown into committee and stuff kind of last minute, whatnot, that could even lift limits on that. So that might even change. But doing an up-to-date review before we start the conversation of, just so you know, we don't need to even talk about, if nothing changes, we don't need to talk about a strict law that says in Portland you can't raise above this, that's lower than the state one, if that's not something we can do, you know. And we can kind of help shape the conversation by letting people know current state laws, this is the stuff we have no chance of changing at the city level. So, you know, that will help guide the conversation too.
Awesome. Thank you for that. I'll make note of that as well. Any other thoughts on this topic? And all righty, is there anything else we want to discuss before we adjourn a little early, a little 10 minutes early?
Final four women's winner.
I have to say it's going to be Iowa. My dad went to the University of Iowa, so he's like been texting me about it. I am not paying attention, but I have to just say that.
No, I have to say South Carolina because my boss is from South Carolina.
Boo. Having grown up on the South Carolina-Georgia border, boo. I have years of blood feuds with that state.
Awesome.
What about you, Laura?
I have no idea. I'm watching them all play. I'm really, really bad at picking the winners, but boy, is it great to watch. South Iowa, how about that?
Very diplomatic of you. Well, thanks, Justin. Appreciate it.
Yeah, all righty, y'all. Yeah. Thanks for the great discussion today.
Yeah, thank you.
Good to see you all. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye.